برای من میاد نگران
and
کننده هستش و
that
احتمال
I
داره
was
که
worried why they had stopped me, that they may have another plan.
چون من در واقع یک فرد
Because
کاملا عادی
I was
بودم
a
از لحاظ
regular
در واقع
pilgrim.
That
I didn't have a very high intelligence position, if you like, in terms of my job. But I knew, I'd heard, that the security forces in Saudi Arabia may question people who arrive in Saudi Arabia for whatever reason. 3 days after I arrived in Medina and wanted to go to the Mosque of the Prophet, I was on my way there when, after a walk past two streets, a white van drew up right in front of me. There were three people inside, a driver, another wearing a suit who was also bearded, and there was another one sitting in the on the back seat who was again wearing formal clothes. They told me in Farsi, in Persian, that they were belonged to another caravan, that they were going in the same direction, that they would like to give me a ride there. And because, out of respect for them, I opened a door to get into it. The man sitting in the back put a gun to my side and said, "Sit down and be quiet." I was absolutely dumbfounded. I didn't know what was happening. I was thinking, are they MKO, or are they the Wahhabis who have deep-seated, long-standing hostilities towards the Shiites? Am I going to die? I had no idea what was going to happen. So I was driven afterwards to an unknown location in Saudi Arabia. It's a long story itself. I wouldn't get there. I was injected with something and became unconscious. When I came to, I realized I was on a big plane, blindfolded. I realized from the very engine of the airplane that sounded nothing like a passenger plane's engine. I realized it was a possibly military plane. And when we arrived at the destination, I realized it was on the American soil. Again, I was taken to an unknown location on American soil. I immediately identified one of the people who helped abduct me in Saudi Arabia in the United States. And there I realized that the guy was an agent of the United States. Well, during my stay there, I was never free. You know, freedom has different definitions. There was a time I was incarcerated. I was not allowed to leave the place I was being held. There was a time I was controlled and monitored. I was not allowed to use the internet or any communication device, which is the first definition of freedom. And threats and intimidation and psychological pressure was on. What kind of psychological pressure are you talking about? Were you physically tortured? In fact, if you want to talk about torture, physically I wasn't tortured at all during the period I stayed there. But the psychological pressure on me was worse than torture, physical torture, that inspectors do to convicts. The biggest problem, pressure on me, was that they wanted me to give them some documents and information on a laptop that they wanted me to talk about them with a news network, tell them that I sought asylum in the United States, that those documents on the laptop, I have brought them to America with me. Those documents, did they belong to you or did they have them? As I said, they had those documents. Medina They picked me up in Medina. I had nothing on me. I didn't have a laptop. That laptop and the information on it belonged to them. They wanted me to claim that those documents, confidential documents, that in their words belonged to Iran's nuclear program, that I had brought them from Iran, and authenticate it all. I didn't agree, though. They gave me an offer for a big bribe, big financial promises, told me that I could name any figure. Did they tell you, give you any exact number or figure? Well, they started with a number, with $1 million to $10 million, and it was going up. I told him, look, money doesn't matter at all. And they thought that the figure was a problem, but I told them, my problem is not with the money that you're offering. The problem is that I'm not able to do that. I'm not going to do that. As an Iranian, I refuse to betray my own country. And I think every other Iranian in my shoes to authenticate fake documents against their own country and help increase the sanctions and intimidations against their country, no one would be prepared to do that, at least to protect the safety and lives of their loved ones. And me, as an Iranian, didn't accept to do that. But then, therefore, they failed to brighten me into it. I realized that the Israeli government wanted to take over the situation and said that if you're not able to get him to do what we want you to do it, we are prepared to take over the situation. We can hand him over to us. If he talks, it's okay. If he doesn't, we can keep him in our prisons, and we can tell the world from his mouth the things that we want to say, and tell them that he has verified the documents that we have that can be used against the Iranian government. Well, no doubt the Americans had an agenda for taking you here. Can you tell us what those threats were? What kind of confidential information did they want to get from you? Well, apart from what I said, the issue of the documents, the fake documents against Iran, there's the issue of an intelligence defeat for the CIA, which is a self-proclaimed, strong, and resourceful organization. They thought that I was an important intelligence agent. They had gathered wrong information on me, and they had worked on it for a long time. And they risked abducting me, hoping that apart from using me as a propaganda tool, they can use me to get intelligence on Iran and make benefit from that as well.